I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, so in my series of going behind the scenes in the AEW world, we've done it with Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, and we did it with Raphael Morphy, the ticket broker and promoter. And now we've got Chris Stell, who is AEW's. I was trying to figure, is it Seamster?
No, you know, we just decided to come up with a wardrobe artist. We'll just go with that for now.
It used to be the seamstresses in WWE, but now it's the wardrobe artist, Chris Stell. And basically, you make all of my stuff now, and it's not a lot. It's not like it used to be, but I still need some stuff done here and there.
Absolutely.
And so how did you and I end up working together?
I think it was, had got some work done from Sandra.
Right.
Sandra. And I needed to alter it, and then I asked you. I said, hey, you mind if I make you a pair? And then we did the Lionheart, and then...
That's right. Yeah, I was doing the Lionheart last year with Mox, where I had the entire old look.
Yep.
And I went to a storage room to try and find the original, and I couldn't. And I said, well, if Kiss was going to do, you know, costumes from the 70s, they wouldn't wear the exact same ones. They'd get right, new ones made.
Right, right.
So then we went and did that.
I think that was, for me, that was a highlight, you know, for me to do that. And then we just started doing you gave me a pair of pants and said, hey, could you, you know.
Work on these and work together.
And then, yeah.
How did you, how long had you been working in AEW that works? Obviously, Sandra started here. So Sandra, we can go into some of the history of the wardrobe people that I've worked with. She used to work with WCW.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think probably through Cody and Brandy, she ended up being kind of the original AEW wardrobe maker.
Absolutely.
So how did you end up getting involved here?
So I knew this kid. His name was Darian Begston. I was making gear for the Independents, and he liked my stuff. And so the show was coming through Kansas City, and I was asked to show up, and I shook Sandra's hand. I had some gear for Fuego del Sol at the time. I'd made some new stuff, and it was really nice, and she liked it, and I dropped off my portfolio, per se. And then that Friday, she called me and said, hey, we'd love to have you on the road. And
so she was kind of the boss of the wardrobe department.
Absolutely. She ran it, and she taught me so much. I mean, it was trial by fire for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect that. And so when I got here, I got right to work, and I've been working ever since.
So obviously you are a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into start making wardrobe in the first place? Like as a kid, like or was it your job prior to working here?
No, actually, I did 10 years in the Navy, and I used to alter my own uniforms because it'd take forever for me to get them back.
Oh.
And if I have new stuff, I want to wear it as soon as I can.
Right.
And so I did that, and then I was wrestling on the Independents for a little while, and then a friend of mine, Marty Bell, she asked me to fix something for her, and I knew I could do it, and I fixed it, and then I said, you know, maybe I'll make you a whole set, and she was the very first person I ever made gear
so
for.
She was the first. Okay.
Yeah, this is all her fault. You know.
So were you, when you were like a wrestler, oh, you're still a wrestling fan, but were you attracted to the guys and girls with the wilder costumes? Is that something that stood out to you, and you?
Absolutely. Obviously, when I was way younger, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, his whole presentation, the bright colors and the tassels and things like that. And then my favorite wardrobe has always been the Undertaker's. It's, you know, he does so many different things, and but it's all within the same vein of, you know, just how you would present him. And so I've always loved his. And then you know, just through the years, even when I was in the Navy, I'd watch on the Armed Forces Network in the middle of the ocean. They'd air the pay-per-views, and I'd love to see what everybody was wearing, because pay-per-view time is always special gear time, and that was always my favorite kind of time to watch.
So. Before we talk more about being in the wardrobe, I've never talked to anybody that's been in the Navy before. So tell me a little bit about you're watching pay-per-views in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
How is that even possible, and what ocean are you in, and kind of where are some of the places that you went to during your time? You said 10 years, right?
Yeah, the whole decade. It was a privilege to serve this great country.
Well, thank you for your service, for sure.
I had way too much fun. You know? But I was on the USS George Washington, Sea-Van 73, and I went to Brazil, Australia, China, Japan. I lived in Japan for 3 years, and that was wonderful. And I guess the pay-per-view networks had a deal with the Armed Forces Network to stream the pay-per-views to Iraq and, you know, all the war zones for free. And if you had a TV and had the Armed Forces Network, you could watch them. So right there on the USS George Washington, in the middle of half the time, we didn't even know where we were. Yeah. But in the middle of the ocean, we were all down there watching the pay-per-view.
Is wrestling fairly popular on the George Washington?
Absolutely. Yeah. We would get in arguments. in our birthing areas over, you know, who was the best, or, you know, who had the best match, and, you know, your typical wrestling arguments,
sure.
You know, for people in the middle of the ocean.
How many mariners, soldiers, what do you call them?
Sailors.
Sailors, sorry. Yeah. How many sailors were there on the ship?
5,000. It's a floating city.
Wow.
For sure.
So yeah. It's almost like, because like when I do the Jericho cruise, that holds about, I think there's about 3,000 or 3,500. Mm-hmm. So this boat is a giant, giant boat.
The aircraft carrier holds the airplanes, and it holds the helicopters, and it holds us and anything else we need to carry. You know?
So what is your kind of daily routine if you're in the middle of the Indian Ocean or whatever?
Yeah, we work 12-hour shifts. So 12 on, 12 off. I was a master at arms, technically a police officer. So, you know, we weren't very popular, but... Mm-hmm. We'd wake up, you know, we'd make sure everybody was still there, and then we'd just patrol the boat, look for hazards and people doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing.
I guess it's kind of a floating city.
Yeah, it really is. You got a little bit of everything on there. And
was there ever any danger on there?
I was actually aboard the ship when it caught fire. That was the most scary experience
was
I ever had.
Was that in the news?
Absolutely.
I remember hearing George Washington.
George Washington was on fire, and we were in the middle of the ocean, and... We had to limp into San Diego, and we were there for 6 months. Love San Diego. But
so you're lucky that you were close enough to port to be able to get in?
To be able to get there, because, you know, we could still float, you know. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to put those things underneath. But,
yeah.
That was very scary. I mean, the fire burned so hot, you know, it's all metal, and it would bubble up the metal. It was, you know, so hot. But nobody died, and that was the...
So you're basically you're patrolling mm-hmm. the waters... For, you know, any type of enemy.
Any types of problems. Threats or if anticipated threats, yeah. Things like that.
I saw that now with the Palestine and Israeli issues with Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending out the ships, the warships.
The strike groups.
The strike troops. So are those like aircraft carrier types?
Carriers, destroyers, frigates, subs. Then, you know, if they're part of that strike group, they'll go out there and just patrol the area and just be there.
And had there been a conflict at the time you were on board, you would have done the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We were part of the 7th Fleet that was over in Japan. And it was easily the proudest thing I've ever physically done in my life was serve the country.
That's
and
great, yeah.
But again, I had way too much fun while I was doing it. So I'm a real sailor.
So swear like a sailor, drink like a sailor.
Absolutely.
Sew like a sailor. So now you're back, and we were talking about Marty Bell. So this very first, I call them costumes, outfits,
sure.
Wardrobe. I've always called them costumes. The first costume that you make, is she just saying, have at it?
Yeah, she said, have at it, and it was absolutely terrible.
So what did you try and do with it?
With the shorts and the tops. You know, I had never made anything like that before, so I used all the wrong elastic. I used, you know, it was just a trial by fire thing for me, and she wore it, I think it was when in one of the Shimmer calendars or something, uh-huh. And she showed it to me, and I was like, why on God's green earth? You had so many other things you could wear, and this was bad. But she was the first, and then the second person, the first male that I did gear for was Jeremy Wyatt in Kansas City. He's been a mentor of mine for years, and had a failure on his, too. He has stars along the sides of his legs, and first time up, he goes out there, and a star falls off. And I was like,
did you glue them on or something?
No, it's the vinyl that we used, and it wasn't pressed. I didn't use the right vinyl. I wasn't smart to how to actually do it. And you know, he could have been right there and said, you should probably quit and not do this ever again. But he encouraged me, and he said, no, get the right stuff and do it again, and I'll wear it again. And then I made him several sets after that, and then somebody told somebody else, and here I am.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So how does it work? Like, for example, you mentioned with Mario, you're going back to the very first ones that you make. Like, do you take measurements of people? And so kind of explain the process. Like, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to make me a pair of tights.
Right. The process
my gimmick is the rock and roll rebel, you know, Jerry Johnson. And I want you to make me a pair. No, that's better. Jerry Jet Fuel.
Jerry Jet Fuel.
I need you to
make
me a pair of tights. I don't know what I want to do, but I need you to help me. So. Let's go through the process.
So with a name like Jet Fuel, we obviously have to do tassels. You know, we're going to be loud with the colors. The first thing I do is we get your measurements, your waist, your inseam, your outseam, and, you know, what kind of fabric you want to use. What look are you trying to, you know, give off? Because that's the biggest part.
Sure.
You know, what are you trying to look like? What do you want to present? And I've gotten pretty good at kind of knowing what people, you know, like if I work with Ruby Soho, I just know it. What'll look good on her, and you know, and with your pants, I was like, oh, this, you know, I think we had the conversation when I was going to do the pants. The jacket was the main event, and so I said, okay, so just the pants need to be subtle,
right.
You know, so, and then the process, we discuss it, and then I get to work.
So yeah, because when you're talking about like you mentioned Ruby Soho. So you obviously know, okay, she likes kind of the punk rock type vibe.
Absolutely.
So what you're talking about, a fit, a look, you said you just know what's going to go good for her.
Color-wise and a look. Like she was doing like a more sports bra kind of thing before, and I'd done a couple before, and then I switched it and to make it, give it a little more of a sexy vibe. And then, you know, she does one pant leg, and so we switched one to just from fabric to mesh, so you can still see through it. And then, you know, they're doing the neon green colors. Neon green's an easy color to work with, and so you could pair it with a lot of different things. And then obviously the fit, does she want it low cut? Does she want it up a little bit? You know, how low does she want it to come down in the back when she, you know, takes a bump or is sitting down? That's where it gets kind of tricky.
Right.
But other than that, we get the sizes, we get the ideas, and we get to work.
Do you, like have a lot of influence per se, like when someone works with, like for example with us, we've worked together quite a few times, I trust you, like when we'll get into some of the stuff that I've had, I need some purple stuff or whatever, like with her, does she just say, I need a new set of stuff, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, she'll just say, hey, I'm having a match at, you know, whatever pay-per-view, and she'll say, maybe kind of want to do these colors, and then I say, okay, is there anything else? She's like, no, I trust you, and I walk away. You know, it's a very simple process with her, and I've gained a lot of people's trust here, you know, Soraya being one of them. I got to do her comeback gear, and then I did the Wembley gear, and you know, so.
So let's talk about that, because obviously she'd been, when she first showed up in AEW in New York, that's a big deal.
Absolutely.
She, you know, anytime somebody new comes, especially somebody of her name value, so what kind of requirements did she give you? What kind of pressures did you put on yourself to do this?
First and foremost, the pressure was, you know, that's Soraya. So you have to make sure that this works. No matter what, this is going to be your fault if it looks bad. And so with her, it was just, you know, she gave me kind of what she was going for, the strappy leather bra kind of thing. She looks great in black leather.
Was it all black or some red?
That first one was all black.
Black.
And then the first one was actually a replica of another bra that didn't actually work out. But then we got the right fit, and she hasn't worn anything else that anybody's made, I think maybe once. But I've done them all.
How about Wembley? Because it was a big night for her.
Wembley was probably my favorite that I've done for her. We did the flag on the cups of the top, and then on her pockets in the back, and just to see her walk down the aisle in something that I made is, you know, I don't think people understand that don't do this, like how accomplishing that feels.
Sure.
You know, she's in her hometown. You know, she's doing her thing, and she chose to wear something I made. Mm-hmm. Same with you. I think I text you, like. I never thought I'd see you perform in something I made.
Yeah.
And I checked that off my bucket list. Mm-hmm. I worked with a musical artist, and he performed in my stuff. So, Those are big, big accomplishments for me. And
it's funny too, because I like to get stuff made like when I have ideas for it, not knowing exactly when I'm going to wear it. And there's been two times when you made stuff and then had it dropped off, and afterwards you're like, is everything okay? Why did you, like, oh, you're so hurt. I'm like, no, it's so not hurt. Time yet. The stuff looks great, dude. I'm not wearing the green tonight.
Well, usually how my schedule works is, you know, I'll get home from Dynamite on Thursday, or I'll get home from Collision on Sunday, and the next day somebody, or even that day, be like, hey, I need these pants for this week. Yeah. And I'm like, well, and so anytime anybody, you know, from the show will text me, I'll say, okay, well, they need those for this week, so I got to make them now. And so then when, I think it was the green ones or something, and I was like, oh my God. That was the purple
one. I had in my mind, I'll wear the red ones tonight, the purple ones on the weekend, then purple ones on the show. We did Seattle Stockton run.
Right.
And you had them for me on Dynamite for Seattle. I didn't wear them, and you're like, everything okay? I saw you wear the red ones. I'm like, no, the purple's like baby duty.
Right, I'm just trying not to get fired. I mean, so, you know, it's one of those things.
It's so cool. Like, I've always been a huge proponent of, you got to spend money to make money, and you got to look like a star.
Absolutely.
I remember even my first match when I was just a kid, I made $40, and I was working at a bar, and I think my check was $200, and I was able to buy a pair of tights.
Mm-hmm.
That Luther's mom used to be a seamstress, so she used to make all of our stuff. And I was in yellow and black. Or I remember that there's a jacket right now that's out with the Corazon de Leon action figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's black with multi-rainbow colored tassels. Yep, and I said, I want a combination of Sergeant Pepper and the Rockers jacket. And she made this thing. Yeah. And, you know, you look back on it, it's obviously, it's not cheaply made because she was a great seamstress, but the material's cheap.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending $50 on these things, but when you're only making 100,
yeah,
half of it goes to the costumes. It's important.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, fabric is expensive.
Yeah.
Especially really nice fabric. And, you know, I've had to buy fabric that was $125 a yard. And I'm like, you know, I need 3 yards of this, you know, so obviously I'm not going to eat that cost. Like, you're going to eat that. And, but you know, and there's been, you know, several times where some, you know, I'll get called and say, hey, this person needs an upgrade. Like, they're coming to TV, like they need an upgrade. And so, and for me and Clint to get those phone calls is special to us, because, you know, the company really does treat us very well. And they really do. They are mindful of our schedule. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if we can get them in, we will. But the company has always been very good to us on, like, you know, slow down on those guys.
But you also, so you get paid, obviously, to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And do you get paid on top of the outfits, like each outfit you get?
Yeah, it just depends on who's buying it. Right. If I'm working with Chris Jericho's paying me. If I do, like we did the Leatherface costume for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the company's obviously going to pay for that.
Gotcha. Are you on salary as well?
I get per appearance.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, and it's a great ordeal. That's for me. Awesome. It's wonderful for me. And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one's a great example of something I'd never done before.
We'll talk about that, because this is when there was a tie-in with the video game. Mm-hmm. You had to make a Leatherface. Who was Leatherface?
Dean, the driver. Your driver.
Dean Alexander, yeah. My driver.
Hey, so, Dean.
Shout out to Dean. So tell me about how you got that. How much warning did you have to make that, and how did you do it?
It was like maybe 2 weeks. Okay, like, it was not bad, but I started getting these emails, and I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be seeing these, you know? But then I saw my name in there, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And they wanted to duplicate the Leatherface outfit, and I had all the treatments and everything. And so I called Dean, and I said, hey, man, we're going to go shopping, and we got to buy all this stuff. And we shopped for, like, all day.
Right.
And he got tired, and I got tired, and then we were finally just like, forget it. We just bought some stuff. And my girl Natalie, she is the horror movie enthusiast. She loves them. So she was just, I was kind of telling her what I was going to do, and she was kind of, you know, you just go over there and sit down. Let me help you out. And so she's really the mastermind behind it. But that was something that, you know, we boiled the shirt in tea to make it dingy and nasty.
Oh, nice.
You know, that was something I didn't know we could do.
That's cool.
I never thought of that.
Makes sense.
Right, yeah. I would have never thought of that. And the blood splatter was just paint. And but then, you know, I saw a lot of online compliments that, you know, it looked movie quality. And I'm like, that was the pressure. Like, that's the point. Like, this is, no matter what people say, this is a TV show.
Absolutely.
You know, like, so.
That's what I say.
Right, when you go into it, you treat it like a TV show. People are watching this. Lots of people are watching.
You don't want it to look Bush League or not ready for prime time.
You don't want it to look cheap.
Yeah, cheap, right.
Like an animatronic at, you know, Spirit of Halloween. You don't want it to look like that. You want it to look like that's an actual guy you can see in the parking lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to, but You know, it's one of those things. And I also, I like to do when people change styles. I like to do stuff like that.
Example?
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about Hobbs. I know what's going on. But, you know, he, you know, changed. He didn't wear a singlet last time. And he was freaking out over the biker shorts. And I told him, I said, hey, man.
Why is that?
Because he just wasn't covered up enough, I guess.
He's a giant.
Big dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep trying to tell him, like, you look bigger in the biker shorts.
That's what I told him.
Right, and don't uncover your legs. Like, just you leave your legs open, yeah. You know what I mean? Or not open, but leave your...
Yeah, yeah. Let's be able to see these things. Yeah.
Leave the shorts. But, and then when he went out, and I actually got to watch him go out,
I got to watch it too. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I couldn't watch him do that to you, Chris. I had to leave.
The bottom line is, though, he looks so much bigger without the singlet.
Yeah.
You know, and once again, like, listen, I can't make the stuff you can make, but I've always been attracted to costumes and flash and larger than life. And you see a guy like him with a singlet on, and it's like, you're not as big as you look. You look not as big as you are with that on.
So exactly.
The concept of wrestling is always look bigger than you are.
Bigger you are. When I talked to him, I told him, you know, when I look at you, you're the when someone says they're a professional wrestler, that's what I imagine them looking like.
Right.
And so, you know, use that. You know.
So did you give him that advice?
Yeah, I told him. I said, you're what I would want a wrestler to look like if I was going to, you know, hate him or, you know, love him. And, I mean, he just looked huge when he was walking down the aisle. And so when you get that kind of trust with a talent, that's one of the best things in the world that you can have is trust with a talent. Like, hey, man, trust me, you're going to look great.
Right.
You know, I'm not just telling you that because I made it. No, you're going to look great because it's a team effort.
So tell us who else you make stuff for here in AEW.
So many people. Max.
So let's go one at a time. So you talk about Max's MJF, obviously. Mm-hmm. Pretty much wears the same thing every time,
right?
Did you help him design that? Or kind of, how does it work when you work with him?
I started working with Max shortly after I got here. And Max, he knows what he wants, and you don't deviate from that. And, you know, I did once, and I changed the lettering on the back of his trunks, and he liked it. So that was a risk well taken. But a funny story about Max, we were at Wembley, and he ordered 3 pairs of trunks from me, a red one, blue one, a purple one. And so I did the red and blue because the purple was for next week. You know, he picks up his trunks, and the show's already started, and he says, hey, man, where's the purple? And I said, I thought that was for next week. He said, no, the robe is purple, like, and I didn't really even pay attention to the robe. I had to run back to the hotel through 20,000 people at this point that were still outside. And somebody said, hey, that's the gear guy. You know, as I'm running by.
No, it's not.
And I grabbed his stuff because it wasn't put together yet. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking, you know.
Thankfully, you brought it with you.
Oh, my God.
Right, yeah.
And I got back there, and we got it made, and it was great. And he looked amazing. That's definitely a great
that's reminder. A high pressure, you know, there's a dream that a lot of us have where your music's playing and you don't have your gear on. Your music's playing, your boots have no laces in them. I almost had that once. It was in Chicago. I remember it was the Celebration for Le Champion, like year one in 2019. And Sandra, I was working Scorpio Sky that night, and Sandra was making something for me. And she thought I meant, like... She realized I was on as early as I was.
Oh, okay.
And I was like Sandra, like, I am on next. I have to wear something. I will put on my own. No, almost done. Right. She literally is like putting them on almost as my ring music was playing, and they look great, but it was so much stress. I'm like, I'm never doing this again.
Right.
I would have
worn
them next week. But I mean, that's a high pressure gig for you guys.
Yeah, especially, you know, when the order comes in.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get, for instance, when Wardlow's gear got stolen. And I started getting phone calls from people I didn't know had my number.
So his gear got stolen like before the show, or
it was
before a pay per view. Is it that
after the San Francisco loop?
Right,
and then we went to wherever we went next is when we got there.
Sacramento, I think,
maybe
something like that.
And so I started getting phone calls from, like, you know, just people I know from the company, but I didn't know they knew who I was. You know,
right.
Like, Wardlow needs something for Dynamite or whatever it was, and so, like, I'm calling around, I'm getting Wardlow's measurements, I'm looking for his I'm doing this in a hotel room, you know, like, that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, I don't get to go home,
you know,
I have to do this on the road. So I get everything gathered up. It was a beautiful singlet, and he had a street fight, and he didn't wear it. I don't mind saying I was so mad. I was so mad. It's like, guys.
But you must be like, that's another thing too, like being a wrestling fan and obviously being in the Navy, which is very regimented and very strict.
Exactly.
Coming into wrestling, are you getting attuned to stuff like that happening all the time?
It's great because, you know, sometimes there'd be something on the ship that would wake you up.
Yeah.
And then sometimes in wrestling, there's something that'll wake you up.
Yeah.
And I'm in, you know, and I tell people all the time, like, you know, I love a good challenge. And that was a challenge for me. Could I get his singlet done in under like 13 hours? Not being at my shop or not being anywhere like that. I've done the same thing for Thunder Rosa, made it in a 24-hour turnaround, you know, for the show. And I enjoy that challenge. And I think in order to succeed, you have to be passionate about it because it sucks sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't love you back. So you have to kind of, you know, you got to really love it.
I think a lot of people too, like that's one thing for me, like working with seamstresses for so long, like for example, in WWE, I don't know if you heard the name of Julie and Taylor, the sisters.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Undertaker used to call them the Harpies. They would just sit in the corner. But they made the famous, you know, Shawn Michaels gear, all of my Y2J gear, and you know, early up to 2005 with the meticulous diamonds and jewels and gems, because that's what I wanted at the time.
Absolutely.
Now I don't really have that anymore. I found that style of pant that I gave you, that black kind of loose.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Look, after having years of spandex, I wanted to have something a little bit more sleek. But they made all of that stuff constantly and were always kind of coming up with new ways to top. Like, you look at Shawn's stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
They were topping each other every time.
Yeah. You know? Shawn Michaels had some of the best gear.
Ever.
And,
of all time. Yeah.
And he's, you know, those ladies are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface of being as good as them because they've been doing it for so long and they've worked with some of the legendary talent in the business. And I hope that they recognize that, you know, because, you know, I recognize it, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to pester Sandra all the time. I'd be like, hey, did you ever make like Razor Ramon's gear or anything? Or no, like Owen Hart or Brett or any of those? And
did she have any stories like that? I forgot that she worked for WWE.
Yeah. She
prior to me being there.
She made some of Eddie Guerrero's gear.
Yeah.
And like that was it for me. I was like, really? And I was like, oh no. I was like, I wish I, you know, could have had that opportunity.
For sure.
But there's people that, you know, I never thought I'd work with Chris Jericho. I never thought I'd work, you know, with Saraya or, you know, any of the other bigger names. You know, John Moxley's another one. Totally different vibe.
So what's Mox's vibe? Talk about that.
He doesn't tell you anything. He just says, the length of our conversation is this. Hey, if I bought some pants, could you make them cool? Sure. And then like 10 pairs of pants show up to my house. And then I just kind of do whatever I want.
So how do you make Mox's pants cool?
I put his name with the blood spatter and then I'll do the, you know, their logo on the other side, or we did the Bengals tribute. I did like what's on their football tights. And it's just
the Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. And he just gives me free reign, and I haven't, the only time I tested him was I made maroon ones. And maroon pants, and he wore them, to his credit, because Renee liked them. I don't think he had a choice.
Go through the white, right?
Absolutely. I was like, you know, these would look really good on John.
That's a great call.
If I bought a bunch of pants, could you make them cool?
That was it.
Easy money.
And then 10 pairs of pants are in my house. And I didn't even remember we had that conversation until the pants showed up.
Right.
I was like, who the hell did I order 10 pairs of pants from, when and why?
Yeah.
And it was John, and then, you know, I've worked with Brian Danielson.
So talk more with Brian.
He's one of those guys who he has a certain look, and he doesn't like to deviate from it too much. And we go exactly what he wants. If he wants Seahawks colors, that's what he gets. If he wants more of a Blackpool Combat Club vibe, that's what we'll do. Or if he wants to go back to just the American Dragon, that's what we'll do. And he has another maker. Forgive me, man, I forgot your name. But he does really, really, really good work.
Hmm.
And so trying to top him... It's always, you know, anybody who comes to me from someone else, I try to top them.
Because you want
to
get the gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure,
you know, there's
sure.
So many good makers out there that I've worked with, from Global WrestleWear to Clint to Lucha Lady to Break Night Creative, Clothed by Ali P. These are the people that, you know, you really, they're in the same field as you, and you want to, you know, make good contacts
with
them and stuff like that. And, you know, they ask me for advice all the time, and, you know, if you ask me on Twitter, in my DMs, I haven't answered them because I have like over 1,000 that are unread. I gave up. You know, I gave up. I have no problem saying I gave up.
So basically, when you're here, Clinton, you are the two Mm-hmm. Is there any of the seamstresses that work on other days?
No, it's just me and him right now.
Gotcha.
But we are, we're in the hunt for another one. The show's growing, so we're in the hunt for another one. And
so how do you guys like decide who gets whose gear? Or does someone just say specifically, I want to talk to you, Chris, or I want to talk to you, Clint?
Me and Clint are, we have a great dynamic. There's only a few customers that we know. You know, those are my customers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But anybody can come to either of us, and we don't worry over stuff like that. But you know, we have our guys, and you know, we usually stick with that. Usually, when someone new comes in, they'll stop by and say hey, and you know, Adam just showed up, so we'll you know.
And he's been he's obviously
he's been going to Main Event I think for a long time.
Right.
So and that's and Robert does amazing work over there. I mean, you know, there's so many great makers. You know, even if I haven't met them, I know them by their work, and
right.
I think that's. You know, that's a tribute to their work, you know what I mean, that I would know their name by
so
that.
When you're talking about fabric, like for example, like the newer stuff that I got, because whenever I change from heel to babyface and vice versa,
yeah.
You want to make a little bit of a nuanced difference. I have a girl called Kate Lomax who makes all my jackets for Fozzy and AW in London.
Yeah.
She actually delivered one of the jackets.
Oh, that's awesome.
London.
Yeah.
But her stuff is so much based around the jewels and the spikes and the colors. So then I was just trying to get, well, what jackets do I have? Because I cycled them through.
Mm-hmm.
This was a Fozzy jacket, but no one's ever seen it in AEW.
Oh, okay.
This is an AEW, because no one's ever seen it in Fozzy. So then I cycled them through. And that's why I have this new idea. It's like, well, I've got a great red one. I've got a great green one, a great purple one.
Yeah.
I'll go see Chris to kind of make some adjustments to these tights. So that's a twofold question. One, do you do the jewels and all that sort of stuff? Because it seems like that's very meticulously done with the little tweezers
and all that. I do all that stuff.
Have you done those for anybody here?
Sky Blue helps me.
Well, she makes the stuff, though, doesn't she?
See, I cheat all the time. Like, I'll give her the stuff, and
right.
She'll bedazzle it for me. But, like, Soraya's Hardware or Ruby's Hardware, the eyelets on your pants, those are all hand set.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
So, because there's a certain number you got to have. And I think when we did the purple ones, I was like, man, I'm going to make this material sparkly instead of just plain. And so that doesn't come with eyelets in it already. So you have to custom make that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I made your belt, and I, you know, but I think Soraya's got, she's got the most hardware on her set of gear. And I do it all, unless Sky Blue is around, and I'll just slide it over.
She had a friend that used to come too, that they would just sit there and they'd take the little tweezers and put the jewel on, and you got to push it down. Like, it takes a long time to get that done.
It takes so long, and it's so annoying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love doing it, but it's so annoying. And because sometimes half the time you don't have the right crystals, or they're different sizes, or something like that, and people put them on the wrong materials. You know, you can't put crystals on certain materials, they just peel off. You know, the glue doesn't set. But, you know, and I have nieces that also look at crystals and tell, you know, they're wonderful, especially my oldest niece Mia. She takes an interest in art and stuff like that, so she's always looking at crystals and colors and stuff like that. So
where do you find the material for? I mean, I remember back in the day talking about Lenny's mom Karen, she would have to go to whatever it was called, you know, Fabric Plus or whatever, and then when there was always a spandex section.
Yeah, absolutely,
they get a new shipment, and I'll go down there see if anything's cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, now with the internet, it's not quite probably that difficult. But like, where do you look to find new and cool stuff? Because I'm sure you always kind of have to be searching for that.
I use like Spandex World, Blue Moon Fabrics, Etsy is a big one. They have I think it's like Alex LA Fabrics or something like that. I order a lot from him. On the road, if I get an emergency, it's Joanne Fabrics all the way. I'll go right to Joanne's. I'll call John, the other driver. I'll call him, or I'll call Boz, and I say, hey, man, I just got this order. We got to go to Joanne's, and you know, we'll work with what's there.
When did you have to tell me a Joanne story that you had to get a quick order done?
Oh, man, there's been quite a few, but I mean, the one that was most stressful, I think it was the Battle of the Belts. And it was for Thunder Rosa, and something had happened, and she didn't have a new set, or something ripped, or something. Anyway, I told Boz, I said, hey, man, we got to make this happen.
Right.
We have to make this happen. And we got it done with just the materials they had there. They have a pretty good selection, but ordering online is usually much easier for me, because they have all the stuff that you can't find in the store. Places like Chicago and New York, they have big, big fabric warehouses that you can visit. And you can put as much as your suitcases will fit and take it back home. So it's one of those.
Let's talk about like a day in the life for you when you come to work. Because obviously, like we mentioned, there's some plans, like, can you have this done for next week?
Right.
So when you get here, what exactly is it that you do? Because today, so you said you had an easy day, so that's where we're
going
to do the
day.
Podcast.
Because
I thought, there's probably no way he's going to be able to do this during a show day, but we are. But tell us for other show days that might be a little bit busier.
So I usually start, you know, Wednesday morning or even Tuesday night. I get to the town and get to the hotel. I usually have a few text messages. I carry my sewing machine in my bag with me for, like, last-minute alterations at the hotel if somebody's got an appearance or something like that, and check my messages for the day. There's things that you know you're going to do every day. When Excalibur's here, I got to get his stuff ready for him to be on TV.
His
shirts and your
so
stuff
you
like that.
Also you know,
iron gotcha. Shirts.
That's
like,
part of your job as well.
JR's the same way. Yeah. If you need something ironed, or you know, Christian gets his turtlenecks ironed. You know what I mean? It's annoying, but I do it. But you know, we'll get that out of the way, and then. Somebody will say, hey, I got a rip right here in this seam. Can you stitch it up for me? Or my knee pad's coming loose, or my kick pad elastic is worn down.
I'm a big, can you cut the sleeves off of
can
this?
Can you cut the sleeves off? We probably cut more shirts in a week. Because, you know, and it's tough, too, because we got to cut them all differently, especially for the girls.
Some guys want them different ways. The girls, So how do you cut them for the girls that's different?
Oh, it's, you know, we'll, like, V the neck out or make it low cut or something like that. Or, you know, like Austin Gunn is the one with the shirts. Him and Juice have the best shirts. I do Austin's. And he makes me iron it every week, and I just think he does it to rib me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we'll just sit through the show and make sure, you know, last minute, Britt's, you know, knee pad sleeve needs to be tightened. It's falling down and she's barely walking around. Slide it off. We'll do that right there. Put it right back on. Her music's playing. She's going out.
Can't do it quick.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part of this job is how fast can you do it? Is the quality TV quality? And did you do it to the best of your ability? And I love that challenge. I love it when somebody at the very last minute, I got a hole in this.
Right.
You know, I got to. And then it's happened. It happens nearly every week. Mm. You know, because you guys get here and we're on your time. You know what I'm saying? You got things you've got to do. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't realize you got a hole in your pants until you put them on, well, you can't go out there with a hole in your pants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's the most misunderstood thing about this job is people think, I can make clothes. I can make gear. Yeah. But can you do it
and under the gun
and rep it out?
Yeah.
Like Clint and I do and the WWE girls do. Like, you know, and one of the guys, you know, he's in Japan. His name is Soi Takeda. Like, he's the best gear maker in the world, in my opinion. Like, his work is so clean, so crisp. A lot of the Bullet Club guys get his.
There's
stuff
a guy
in there
called Hayashi that Rey Mysterio's working with since the 90s. I remember this little kid used to come making stuff. He's still there. It's like, he's still got Hayashi. You know, when you find someone that you like, you stick with them, you know?
Right. And then they get to know you and try to get to know the talent, try to get to know who you're working with. You know, because if you make something and it doesn't go well, it doesn't get on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you don't want to look bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I always, you know, put my best foot forward and try to, you know, because you're out there with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your stuff is the first stuff
that's
they see.
That's your stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, God forbid something pops loose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the worst part of it.
You know, and that's the thing, like you said, if something that you make felt like, I remember this one time. When you probably heard of this, the guy's name was he was working with Zack Ryder.
Oh,
what was his name? The guy was
Rory Fox.
Rory Fox. Mailbox Rory Fox. Whatever his name was, yeah. And this poor guy, I mean, you've seen it happen before.
Absolutely.
He's in the ring, and Zack is working with him. Cardona's working with him, and this poor guy's tights just literally exploded.
They just evaporated.
When I say exploded, it exploded all around his waist, and it looked like a freaking like just the waistband with some strands. And the guy was sitting in the corner holding his ball bag.
That's all you could do.
I remember he had to do this match, and like that thing, Zach had to give him like a sunset flip. You could see the guy's just like, oh no. They showed that thing, that poor guy, over and over. I remember Julie and Terry were laughing so hard. Like, I said, what happened? She said, it just must have just deteriorated. Just went poof.
Yeah.
Like that seamstress was probably not happy that day.
Absolutely that, and probably fired.
Yeah. You probably got him 22 years early or whatever it was, but that is what you do not want to have.
No.
You know what's interesting? I was just looking this up. There's a great gear maker called Fleur Thiemeyer. She's a famous gear maker with like from the 70s and 80s, yeah. Kiss and Motley Crue and Mick Jagger and Blondie and you know, Liza Minnelli and Rod Stewart. Like, she still to this day makes all of this cool stuff. And it's like all the guys go to her because they know, like, let's get it from Fleur. You know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is she, that's an amazing catalog to have.
Yeah.
You know, like, and once all you need is one.
Right.
All you need is one person and to say something or get you to the right people. And, you know, I have no secrets. You know, I was young in the game when I got this job. I've done a lot of learning on the road with Sandra, with Clint. I've done a lot of that. So it wasn't like I had been around for 20 years.
Right,
no, I had not. Like, I appreciate the way I came in because it was like, you're either going to do this or you're not.
You're getting thrown in the deep end, man.
Right. You're either going to do it or you're not. And so, and here I am still doing it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I'm proud of this job. I'm proud of what we do here.
Well, you can tell you take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like when we started working together, that's one of the reasons why I liked working with this. Like, you know, send it to my hotel and then send you the same pair.
Yep.
I buy 10 pairs, but I send it to Denver and Seattle or wherever the hell
it was. Yeah, it was California was one of them.
California. You know, and that's a sign of a pro. Like, send it to me and I'll get started, dude.
Yeah, because it's like, if you want it on this day, this is when I got to have it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you're willing to leave your house to send that to me, I should at least make the effort to come through for you. And that's how I operate. That's the way my father taught me to do things. You know, my mother instilled that in me. And, you know, and two, like, I enjoy the work.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the work.
Starting to wind down here. Another thing I was just thinking about popped in my head when we were doing the Jericho Appreciation Society, we were getting those patches made.
Yeah.
We put the patches on the tights. We put the patches on the back of the white vests for
absolutely.
Anarchy in the Arena.
Mm-hmm. We did the red ones
red
for something.
Red ones for Blood and Guts.
Blood and Guts, yeah.
So, and that was one of those things. Well, just bring your stuff to the arena and Chris can do it. So how are you able to make these logos, because they're big for the back of the vest,
big,
they're smaller for the front of the tights?
Absolutely. We get those printed from just whatever company's close that we can get, and then we cut it out and, you know, we just use the artwork. Some of the stuff, like I think I made you a custom
Jericho.
Yeah.
So Y2J. Sorry.
Yeah, Y2J, yes.
It's okay, I do the same thing.
And I made you a custom one, but I used the vinyl cutter, the Cricut. The Cricut is a great tool to have on the road. It's a great tool to have in your house. It, you know, cuts all the designs into vinyl, and then you peel it, you press it, and it stays. I think I did a couple for you, maybe Hager, too.
Yeah.
And Garcia as well. But we did, Garcia's another one. That's just, he's very particular.
So what is he like?
He switched from trunks to pants.
Right.
And so he gave me these pants and he said, bro, I don't know what to do. And then he sent me an example. And I was like, I got
a picture of another.
Yeah, a picture of another pair of pants. I was like, I got it. And then ever since then, every pair, hey man, you should do this. Hey man, you should do that. Oh yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Usually when I get to you and you're like, oh yeah, it's fine. Yeah. You know, and then I'll just go away. I just go do the work.
That's trusting your designer.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Same thing I have with Kate with those jackets. I'm like, I need a new jacket.
Yeah.
Well, how about I do this? Great.
Right.
Chris, I need some new pants. Well, how about we drive this way? Done.
Well, the thing is like when you order a pair of pants from me, I'm already thinking two more ahead.
Yeah.
Because I know if I get this right, I need to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll, you know, I got another green that I'll show you. That if that's what if you want to go with that, we can go with that. You know, like you're always thinking two steps ahead, but you should never. The money's nice, but look at the work.
Right.
Because don't backload yourself and then start missing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So I always tell people the money's nice, but look at the work.
Right.
And so because some of your pants take 2 hours. Wheeler Yuta's pants take 4 to 5 just because of his, you know, the way it's designed.
Mm-hmm.
Max's stuff takes, you know, 2.5 on a rough day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just time.
Sure.
You got to have time to do it all.
Getting it right.
Yeah, and getting it right, you know? And I mean, I got a son. You know, I got to take care of him.
Well, you're in a word of mouth business in a vocation that it's a very, very slim chance of getting hired.
Right.
Like, how many pro wrestling wardrobe designers are there on the road?
Right.
Two in WWE, two here?
Yeah, there's
maybe three. I don't know, six tops.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
Right.
And I that's another thing. I love the competition of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's competition. Like, oh, you know, so-and-so's coming in. So I know so-and-so does their gear.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to do their gear. And I get that from having my brothers, Mike
sure.
and Drew. It's competing all the time.
How was it for you being on the road like this? I mean, it's not a lot, but you're still traveling somewhere different every week.
It's never felt more natural
yeah.
for me.
You were on tour for 10 years in the Navy, so I can see that.
I do not like to be one place too long. Home is nice. Kansas City, home is nice. Love that place. It will always be home. But man, you know, I just like to call it home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like to be other places. We're in, you know, Texas today.
Life of adventure, right?
And it's just one of those things. And how insane is it that I wanted to make money off of professional wrestling, and now I do.
Yeah, you do. This is your career.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's truly a blessing, as my mom would say. She's, you know, make sure you're praying and you're...
Last few questions for you. What kind of advice did you get from Sandra? Because she was amazing.
What was Sandra's last name? Sandra...
Gray.
Sandra Gray. Great. One of the all-time greats. She retired.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get advice from her along the way?
I got advice. I got patterns. I got everything I could get out of her. She gave me the best opportunity that I've ever been given. And she left me with advice and still gives me advice to this day. She is a saint. She truly is, because she did not have to give me a chance. She did not have to teach me everything that she did. And we had fun. That was the best thing. The work was great, but we had fun. And she made the transition out of the counterterrorism world that I was in.
She was in the military too?
I know I was.
Oh, okay.
But
so
I was doing counterterrorism work before I did this. And she made the transition very easy for me. And I'll always be in debt to her for that. So,
that's amazing. Last question for you, man. What's your favorite costume you've ever made? And what's your favorite wrestling costume ever? Is the one that stands out for you?
So my favorite costume I ever made... that's a good question. Just based off of how big the moment was, I put a lot of heart and soul into Soraya's Wembley gear.
Wembley, yeah.
I put a lot of heart and soul into that, and because I wanted it to be so special for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably my favorite one that I've made. And then my favorite gear that I, even in today's game, I like simple stuff. I like simple stuff, too. Like, it's one of those things. You could look at Orton's gear. His gear's always badass. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah, it's a pair of shorts. A pair of trunks.
But they always look so good. And then you look at Bailey's gear with all the buckles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's amazing, too. But I think I like FTR's gear. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I made them a couple sets. And they went to Japan. I did their, when they went to Japan, set. And we did the FTR in Japanese lettering.
Nice.
I thought that's another one that's probably one of my favorites, and thanks to those guys for that opportunity. But yeah, man, I always love what's next.
Yeah.
Like, whose outfit? You know, I got stuff cooking for MJF since he's on this nice little run. Like,
he's probably got in his phone every 3 months he needs a new pair of tights, right?
Lately, it's been every week. You know, I told him, you're killing me.
Is there somebody here you can't wait to work with in AEW? Mentioned Edge before, or
I mean, if Adam ever needed anything, Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked with Luchasaurus, and he was great. So, you know, you get Christian. I worked with Brian Danielson. I love working with Ethan Page. He's probably the easiest customer I have.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the nicest. Then the guys, you know, I love working with him, and we do different stuff. He's another one who trusted me to change his style.
Yeah.
He's another one. So, but I'd say Adam. It had to be Adam. Like, if he ever, he ribbed me when he first got here. He scared me. Like, I thought I was out the door. Like, he came over. It was in Kansas City. He comes over. I hadn't introduced myself to him yet, because you guys are always talking to somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I won't bother you, you know? And so he just, like, locks eyes and gives me the death stare. And I was like, oh, I'm going to meet Adam. You know, and I go to shake his hand, and he didn't shake my hand.
Oh, no.
And then he starts yelling at me. He's like, you think you're too good to come introduce yourself to me? Who do you think you are? You know who I am? And I'm backing up like, well, Adam, I didn't mean to disrespect you. You're always so busy. And then he started laughing. And then I stopped sweating, you know, because I was going to, I was ready to pack my stuff and go, you know, but that was great.
You know, it's so funny. The one last thing is, I remember Julian Terry used to say that, like, we know everything that happens around here. I go, what do you mean? She goes, we know all the gossip. Why? She goes, because no one ever thinks we're here.
Yeah.
We just sit here doing our work, and we stay quiet. Everyone's talking around us. We know everything. We know who's banging who. We know who's stabbing who in the back. We know who's got plans for what.
Listen, all I'm going to say is, if you see the clothing racks, just be quiet as you go by. That's all I mean. That's just a public service announcement for all the boys and girls. If you see those clothing racks, just be quiet as you go by, because we are there.
So, thanks, dude.
Chris, thank you so much. It's an honor.